Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the entry-level wine from Corrada de Beauvoir, their Dom de Beauvoir from Montenay-Saint-Emilion in France. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's so good to be here.
Are you sure?
Well, yeah.
Sometimes I wonder.
Well, I'm definitely wondering after how good it is to be after that last episode.
Well, you know, that last episode was dull, but not because of us. We're excited.
No.
It was the wine that was at fault, but... I'm just still looking at the Roku screensaver. But still, on tonight's show, we are back to Bordeaux-esque wines. Bordeaux-esque. It's more so than some of the Bordeaux Superior and some other shit that we drink here on the show. But on tonight's show, we have a wine. It's kind of like the entry level of entry levels. And I don't really know that this producer goes all full in and has these grand wines. But... you know, whatever. It is Dom de Beauvoir. And Dom de Beauvoir is the entry-level wine for Chateau Clos de Beauvoir. They are focused in Saint-Emilion, but more specifically in the satellite region of Montagne. Yes, Montagne, Saint-Emilion. If you look it up, there are multiple sub-areas of Saint-Emilion, you know. And we've dealt with it, like Poussinier is one of them. It's pronounced similar to that. Somewhere, you know, there are multiple little mini AOCs there. Like Saint-Georges, Saint-Emilion, Lussac, Saint-Emilion. Yeah. We've dealt with Lussac, Saint-Emilion multiple times. They're satellites from the actual ones. It's not a Grand Cru Saint-Emilion. It's not. It's even less than that. It's not even from Saint-Emilion. It's from one of the satellite ones. And if you go onto a map, you can go onto, you know, any place really, Wine Folly, Wikipedia, it doesn't really matter, and kind of take a look at where these things are located, right? And this particular one, 16, is located kind of right in the heart, but maybe a little bit further north than where the main action is going on, right? But good wines can be had from satellite producers. Quite frankly, great wines can be had from satellite producers. What do those wines normally not have? Necessarily ageability.
Okay.
You know, but you can buy them at a good price. This list price is around $20. I bought it at Costco, actually, for $12.99. It's one of those times that you can find some little special deals. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. This one, though, Wine.com has sold the shit out of this thing over years. And right now in your state, if you live in a real state in Ohio, you probably can buy it as we speak. And it might be worth a try. You're going to find out tonight, is it worth a try? I can tell you right now, though, Montagne Saint-Emilion is worth a try. Any of those, Lussac, Saint-Georges, Poussinier, is all worth a try. Like Canon Franzac, it's over there. I mean, Pomerol, it's over there. It's in, you know, it's in that same area. Franzac. All of these things are over there, and they're really, really worth your time. Pomerol, though, is a grand producer. But Franzac, Canon Franzac, these are all Côtes de Bourg. There's so many different ones. Lizarac Medoc, if you're going to the left bank, that's another one that's nice. These are all just a little bit off the beaten path. Doesn't have necessarily the grand names, but good value can be had. Côtes de Castillon. We've done that many times. That's another one. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Take a break.
We need to settle our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Scott needs to calm down.
I need to calm down.
You need to calm down, Scott. I've been telling you that. I'll talk to you tonight. I wouldn't talk to you earlier. I'll talk to you tonight.
Didn't think it could last.
I've got some knock knock jokes for you later.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll have to look some up, but I'm going to.
No,
I'm,
don't do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. And you're going to play along.
Nope.
Yeah, you are. Because you
I'm
are.
Not talking to you.
Oh, yes, you will. You want to, you have to. You have no choice. It's part of who you are. Nevertheless, folks, it's your fault that I'm on this show anyway.
So we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. And we're going to be reviewing the Dom de Board, the 19 vintage. It does, though, have some critical acclaim. Critical acclaim normally is just people sucking up, so they're not very critical, right? As we found, you know, I don't know what you mean. This is James Suckling. I did review this wine. I reviewed a barrel sample, Scott.
This?
Yes, it was a rain barrel.
Okay.
I drank out of that outside. Well, had some leaves.
That's what you deserve.
And some bird shit in it, but it's all right.
Well,
I said,
give some texture.
We drink barrel samples of everything. It doesn't make a difference. It's just, you know. Anyway, this is together and focused for the Appellation with current and wet earth character. It's medium bodied with ripe tannins. Not overdone. Barrel sample, 90 to 91. I didn't give a lot of variation there.
That's one of your worst reviews, James.
That's saying something, isn't it?
Both score and by the text you provide.
That's correct.
Oh, Lord.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Tim.
Oh,
how are you?
Great, Scott.
Have you been interacting with Wilfred tonight?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Is he talking to you?
No, well, he sends me pictures.
Oh, Lord.
I can't tell what it is. I assume it's his penis. It's very small. He zoomed in. He doesn't have any more zoom on his phone.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
He's a flip phone, Scott. Did you know that?
A flip phone?
Yeah, it's Jitterbug, I believe is what it's called.
Jitterbug?
Yes, yes. It's for senior citizens. You probably have one.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, I did not review this wine, but a handsome man did. And I am a handsome man, and I have my shirt off, and I shave my chest. Actually, I only shave the part that you can see. It's quite bizarre. I'll have a V where my shirt is open. It's bare-chested. Then I have just like, I look like a raspberry bush on the outside.
Oh, Lord.
Black raspberry, though. It's very dark hair. Anyway, Jeb Dunnock.
Oh.
He has gorgeous hair.
He has gorgeous
on
hair.
On his chest as well. I just, that's so true.
Oh, Lord.
I know, and his pubic hair. He's not a redhead, though. Anyway, he gave it 90 of his points. And
90.
He wrote, well, it's a barrel sample. Once again, he was there. Everyone drank out of a barrel. Anyway, always high quality, charming wine. This is the entry level from Corral de Board, revealing a healthy ruby purple color as well as fresh, lively notes of black cherry and blackberries, violets, and spice. It's medium bodied, has a balanced, silky texture, good medium palate depth, and a great finish. It's not a blockbuster, but it shines for its terrific drinkability and elegance. 88 to 90.
Okay. I mean, he's trying to sell some wine.
That's very true, yes.
Drinkability.
Yes. Escada, this is a Southern man.
Oh, Lord.
I did not review this wine, but Robert Parker in his Advocate of Wine.
His Advocate.
Yeah, he did. And I got to read his review.
Well, let's hear it.
I don't read so good, but I'll try. Well, anyway.
It's never stopped you before.
Deep garnet purple colored. The 19 La Dame Boyard offers up notes of Morello cherries, preserved plums, and fruitcake with hints of espresso, forest floor, and dried provincial herbs. Medium to full-bodied, the palate has a sturdy foundation of chewy tannins and just enough freshness to support the generous baked berry flavors, finishing with a peppery kick. 88 to 90 of his points for the barrel sample. You know, my granny, when she passed away, we didn't have a coffin.
You no. didn't have a coffin.
We had a barrel.
A barrel.
Yeah, it was a plastic barrel. It had
plastic.
It was a rain barrel, Scott. Yeah, and it had a spigot on it.
Did you kill your grandmother, Southern Man?
No.
Why did you put her in a plastic?
No, my kinfolk did.
You had nothing to do with
that. I had nothing to do with that.
How did you know she was in a plastic 55-gallon drum?
Well, I'm going to tell you that if you'd let me. Anyway, apparently I went back for the funeral, and they did the kind of like a family reunion for my kinfolk, right?
Okay.
So they had a bunch of barrels, and they had like moonshine. They had some lemonade and some sweet tea. Problem is, the barrel that they put Granny in, they got that confused.
Oh, Lord.
And it was like, have you ever seen one of those shell games, Scott?
Oh, no.
They didn't know which one. They accidentally buried a sweet tea. And poor old Granny, she'd been in that barrel a while, and she had a strong kick. I was like, that is not Lipton, my friends.
Oh, Lord.
It's Granny.
You drank your grandmother.
I did. Just once, though. I was like, wow.
What is wrong with you, Southern?
I'm not the one that my dumbass kinfolk, you know, all fucking each other, and they're all fucked up.
Listen, you keep talking about your kinfolk like
using
that.
Meth.
You're going to end up in a rain barrel.
Damn meth heads. That's all they are. Well, shit.
That saves on the dental bills.
It does.
Just pull them out with a freaking pair of ice grips.
Man, it makes it. I can't say what I was going to say there because I realized that crossed the line.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we never do that here.
That's true. Can't say Granny and fellatio in the same damn sentence.
Well, you just did.
Well, I did, but I did not put it in context. But I did say she was in a rain barrel, though, that's for sure.
And missing teeth.
That's right. It's nice.
Oh, Jesus.
Gum job. Anyway. So.
Damn Boyard.
In the glass. It is dark. And it's predominantly Merlot, in case you wondered. Perfumey nose, slightly sloppy.
Did we get a breakdown? Is it Merlot, Cab Franc, and Cab Sauvignon?
Let's see if I can figure that out. They don't say. They have a lot of information, and they won't say that. They probably don't know. I would say it's at least 75% Merlot. It probably is more. It says data sheets. No data sheets. Vintage presentation. No vintage sheets. Press reviews. No press reviews.
I think wine.com has a listing for it, though.
Yeah, I know. They do, but you know what they have? Nothing. They don't have shit.
No, it's 60. At least the 2016... Let's go to the 20. This is the 18? Is
that 19.
It? Wow. So that's about the 18. The 18 does not have the percentages.
This
however,
is the 19.
16 did. 16 listed it as 60 Merlot, 30 Cab Franc, 10 Cab Sauv.
Predominantly Merlot, then Cab Franc. We know that's going to be the way it is.
Yeah, and James' review of the 16, he says 60-40, no Cab Sauvignon. James, he's...
was mesmerized by the Southern man's story of his grandmother's funeral. That's quite tragic. I'm emotionally moved.
Yeah, Advocate says 60-30-10. Mm-hmm. It's 60% Merlot and a bunch of Cab Franc and maybe some Cabernet Sauvignon.
Well, in the glass, it is dark.
It's dark.
No translucence, really.
A little watery edge.
Oh, of course.
But, you know, it's fine.
The nose is muddled plum and prune-ish with maybe a very cruddy violet. I mean, it has a slight aromatic, but it's more compact and kind of like runs along with the juiciness of the fruit.
There's a sweetness in there. I don't think that's the flower. Mm-mm. Like,
yeah.
And that sweetness is a little concerning.
I don't think it's going to be sweet, but it's like, kind of a muddled, sloppy nose. It's really not. Great Bordeaux has a great nose. This does not have a great nose.
Almost gets to like flat cola pop sweet.
A little bit, yeah, I get that. Yeah, I'll go along with that. A little bit of a cola element.
Let's just be brave.
I've drank this before, so
getting a bad vibe about this. I'm telling you right now.
It's bone dry.
It's Merlot.
Yeah. Very astringent.
What do they want to get for this? 30 what?
I bought it for $12.99. They can try to get whatever they want for it. I bought it for $12.99. $24.99 is what wine.com says is out of stock price is. But
18 was 22 bucks.
Yeah, around 20. I paid $12.99. Did I mention that? That's about what it's worth, $12.99. It's very reminiscent of multiple wines in this price range. None of which, you know, remember the Aronin by Clean A?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a little bit like that. The problem with these wines, some of them, the really bad ones can be a little bit sulfuric. This one isn't. But it doesn't have a lot of fruit. And it's not really balanced well with its oak. So it finishes long. The finish is very long. It's still going on, but it's lingering kind of a musty oak.
Yeah, I call it kind of yeasty, but
yeah, we're saying a yeasty element. Yeah, yeah. It's
also got a little bit of that sour oak thing too.
It's more yeasty than it is sour, but yeah, it's got
both those things that are
a cruddy pleasant. Oak.
Not pleasant.
No. That's not good. And the fruit, I think, kind of begets that. It's just the way that it's all presented.
Fair. I mean, it's like stewed savory fruit.
Very much so. Everything is going fine until that finish kicks in after about, 10 seconds? It's chalky. It's linear. It has some nice minerality and chalky elements to it, but that finish is a little bit off-putting. It takes a while to get there, so if you chase it with some water real quick, you just let the front and the mid come through, then you just wash it away with some water, you'd enjoy it. That's what I'm going to do.
Chase it with a shot of tequila?
Hey, man, whatever you do.
Pinch your nose off when you drink it? I
don't mind. I like the front and the mid. I do. I like the front and the mid. It is loamy. It's chalky. It has a little bit of, you know, lean fruit that's nice in a Bordeaux-esque kind of way. And the finish kind of throws it off a little bit naturally, but it's okay for $12.99. If you're paying 25 bucks for this, then I will spit in a spittoon, maybe pee in it. And you might want to buy that.
Oh, Lord.
But, you know, yeah, you got to fill it up.
It's just not.
Can't shortchange people.
And I agree that the front and the mid palates are fine, as they should be. It's fine. But well, you can't get away from those two bad things.
Montagne, Saint-Emilion. Not.
Okay.
You know. You can get away from those things. You wash them away, man. I'm going to wash that stank right out of the wine. I'm going to wash that stank right out.
And how do you propose we do that?
With water, right here.
You can't drink the water fast enough.
Demons out. Yes, you can. I just did.
Really?
I just washed
it. So you didn't get the negative things?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, you're so full.
This is water soluble. It's a watercolor wine.
Your brain's water soluble.
You like astringency.
It's good and astringent. It's just not good.
Well, I mean, it's not bad.
Ooh, which would you rather drink? Banshee or this? I gotta go Banshee. You said you drank this before. Did it have this sour oak yeasty finish?
I don't remember. I remember I didn't drink it all. I vacuum binned it. I don't think I went back to it.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. It's fine, but it's what you expect for you're buying a half off at Costco. There's a reason why they have cases and cases and cases of it. That's the reason why. They have cases and cases and cases of it because why? Nobody wants it. If they wanted it, they would have bought it.
Yeah, the people who tried it said, oh, that's still there.
Who's going to buy it at $20?
Who's going to buy it at $13?
Well,
not me.
Not me anymore. They still have it, by
the way. And when did you buy this?
Oh, a while.
Freaking months ago.
Oh, a long time ago. I've been nursing this bottle. I just haven't got to it.
You know what this tastes like? It tastes like a bottle that you opened and...
Put
the cork back in it.
Yeah.
It just does.
And it's like, that was on a Thursday and this is Monday night. You're like,
Or Thursday the next week.
You shake it up a little bit before you drink.
Oh, look at that. Wow. They just don't make these wines the way they used to with these corks. Usually the corks are already in the bottle and haven't been removed when I open them.
This is very BDX-ish, isn't it?
Oh.
That's an insult, but it is. Oh. It is a little bit. That's half the price, but, you know.
When was the last one we had that was this bad?
Well, it's not this bad. This is better than that shit I bought from Kroger, that Medoc. Or was it all Medoc?
That was a long time ago.
That was about 4 months ago.
Yes.
That was horrible.
Yes.
This is...
It's not that bad.
Not that bad. No.
But not much better.
It's much better.
Ooh.
That one was...
That one had not a single redeeming characteristic.
And it was extremely acidic and horrid.
Yes.
This is just very, very boring. This is as boring as it gets.
It's bad, too. It's that finish, you know...
I don't get the finish anymore because I fall asleep before it actually hits, but, you know.
It's
it'll cure you from drinking though.
It stopped this episode.
I defy the man that ever got drunk off this wine. I was like, no, you didn't. You stopped. You didn't do that. You're not gonna. If you're an alcoholic and you want to stop, here's one of the wines that'll stop. Drinking's not cool.
Drinking's not cool.
Let
me prove it.
If this was the
I know it's not cool. I had damn Bouillard.
I hope to God no one has ever drank the Dom de Bouillard and then said, I don't like Bordeaux. Like, ew, I don't like that. It's icky.
Well,
there's a reason why you didn't like it. It's Dom de Bouillard.
This'll do it.
I mean, don't try the other stuff either. I mean, I can't imagine that's much better. But the thing is, this would be expected. If it were Bordeaux Superior or below, right?
But it's not. It's Grand Vin designation.
Yeah, it is.
It's
really
bad.
And it's from a satellite, Saint-Emilion. You expect a level of quality that's a little bit better than this. I mean, it should be better than this.
Who's the dumbass in the review that said drinkability? Doesn't matter.
Is that because it's wet? I think he meant by putting. He meant to have a
it's
colonic.
It's liquid and it's capable of being poured down your throat.
That's there you go.
I think it would be better as a colonic.
Stuff it up your ass.
It would taste better
after the fact.
I think it would.
Add some earthiness. Some earthiness. Nuttiness. It's got a nice hazelnut note.
On a nutty finish. Yes.
Improve everything. The aroma.
Oh, look how brackish it is now.
That's lovely. Oh, there's a hamster floating in it. What's going on, Scott? I don't understand.
It's not a hamster. That's a guinea pig.
Yeah. Whoa.
I knew it. I was proven right. Like, you know. Wilfred. Scott, why is there a freight train
you in
there?
Right.
Good did God. Not go together.
Why?
Never once again say that you're right.
My God.
There's no one more wrong than
terrible.
You. Wilfred Scott? Wrong, folks.
There's 17 Catholic priests in there. What's that all about,
oh,
Scott?
Oh, Jesus.
It's terrible. So, folks,
too
we're
soon.
Gonna, no, it's not.
Way too soon.
We're going to take a breath. It's always okay. What are they going to do? We're going to take a break. And if they do it, I'll be perfectly happy with that. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. On tonight's Potpourri, we have a very popular segment called Ask Physician's Assistant Wilfred. That's right, Scott. Whoever you are. This is Wilfred. And tonight, Scott is going to go into the Wine Spectator's, the annals, which is very close to anus, if you want to know the truth.
It really is.
Of Wine Spectator and ask Dr. Vinny. They have a doctor on there. He's not a real doctor, is he? I'm a real physician's assistant. I got a degree. Yeah.
You got a degree?
Yes.
You got a degree of what?
What? I got a degree.
Degree of?
Well, there was this guy named Joe.
Skin burns on your butt cheeks?
No. Carpet burns on my wiener. But I don't want to talk about
on
that.
On your wiener.
On my wiener. It's a very technical term for dick. So,
is
you know,
it technical?
It is. I'm a doctor, so that's yes, the technical term for a penis is wiener, yes. Or ding dong. Schlong is another word. Yes. Well, anyway, Scott's gonna read these. He's off getting us off track. He's gonna read
I'm getting us off track.
Some basic questions that people have written in and asked Dr. Vinny, but I'm gonna provide the correct answer.
Dear physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, yes.
Thank what you. Are your top etiquette tips for attending a walk around while in the nude wine tasting?
I don't think that's the question, Scott.
That's the question for you.
No. Well, first of all, don't be in the nude, you know. But let me just put this out.
What, should you be in crusty sweatpants? That's generally your options. In the nude, below the waist, or crusty sweatpants.
They want to know the proper etiquette. Now, they were going to a fancy one, a New York wine experience. Oh, I just peed my pants. What is the etiquette at a wine tasting, folks? First of all, don't take a stripper as your date. Now, you might say that's stupid, doctor or physician's assistant Wilfred, but Rob the Wine Guy has been to many tastings where fucking assholes that are bald, older, really have never been with a woman, bring a stripper / prostitute as a fucking date to a wine tasting, normally trade shows. It happens more than you think, Scott. Yeah, don't take prostitutes to a wine tasting. Just don't do that. Don't do it.
Isn't that how you get in most of them?
No, I just pay them and, you know. They don't realize it's a male prostitute. It doesn't matter, Scott.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, doesn't matter.
Don't do that, first of all. Second of all, be clothed. Fourth, or third, whatever. I can't count. Don't get drunk. You don't get drunk at a wine tasting. You spit sometimes. You know, it's like catch and release. If you ever fish, you want to keep the big fish. But the little fish, you send on their way. So, shitty wine? Spit that shit out. You do that, you know. Not there are spittoons or whatever you want to call it, spit buckets for it. We even used to have one here in the wine vault, but Rob the Wine Guy bought one that was too cheap and it leaked, so they stopped. They threw it away.
Well,
It was a plastic one, but so A, don't bring prostitutes or slash strippers to a wine tasting. Don't do that.
No.
Don't get drunk. And keep your junk in your pants too. Yeah.
That's a good rule of life for you in general, Wilford.
That's true.
Physician's assistant Wilford Wrong.
Yes, yes.
At a party.
Yes.
I accidentally opened an expensive bottle of wine that wasn't supposed to be shared. How can I make things right?
What the... What were you... What? Okay. Why did you do that?
This is a call-in show. I didn't ask the question.
Well, they wrote... I'm going to read what they actually wrote. A friend brought a bottle of wine to a party and was told to put it near two wine refrigerators. By the time she was ready for a glass, her bottle was already empty. The volunteer pourer, a friend of the host, helped her find another bottle of red and opened it. The next day, the host wrote a scathing email calling my friend a thief and demanding that she pay for his wine, which apparently was expensive and not meant for guests. She would never have consumed it had she known. What to do? Well... You tell the person that wrote the email to go suck your dick, because that doesn't exist. If you bring a bottle of wine and tell them to put it too near refrigerators and somebody drinks it, it gets drank. What are you at?
Well, no, the issue was with that she brought a bottle for her to consume.
When yeah.
She went to have a glass. It was emptied, and the volunteer pourer and she went into the host's wine and got in. An expensive bottle.
You don't do that. I read it.
That's what they did.
Don't do... Why would you get other people's wine out?
You were thirsty?
But then again... Oh, I'm sorry. I slipped out of character. Then again, not much of a host.
Well...
I mean, you know, lock up your shit, you know? I mean, what are you doing, you know? What did they go in and get? That's kind of curious. If you... You know...
It was another bottle of red, you know... Apparently, Mayomi's expensive to the host.
I don't know. This is strange, though. If you read what Dr. Vinny wrote, he goes, oof, which isn't a word. First off, let me remind you of my mantra about host gifts. They are for the host to consume or not on their own and shouldn't be expected to be open for the event. That said, I've definitely been to parties where people bring beverages of their own choice and then immediately open them. I'm not sure what actually happened here, so let's just make it up. So if you go into someone else's wine cellar and you're not invited, and you pull out a bottle of their wine and consume it, that makes you a thief.
You are a thief.
Okay.
What should you do about it? Maybe you should replace that bottle of wine.
Quickly. Or if someone brought a bottle as a gift, but it got mixed in with all the other bottles and you happened to drink it and you didn't know, then they can go fuck themselves, right? But if you went in and stole one of their better wines, and you should probably know what you're drinking. So if you were at a party where they were drinking, say, let's just say Mayomi, and they were all out of your Mayomi, so you went in with someone and you pulled out a bottle of Chateau Latour and you said, well, I'm going to drink this instead. Well, that makes you a dickhead and a thief.
Yeah, beyond a thief.
That's really bad.
Hopefully, you brought the hooker for the host.
Yeah, you give the... Yeah, 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 hooker, yeah.
Physician's
It's a nice hooker, though, I'll tell you.
Wilfred.
That. It's not like the hookers were at those wine tastings. Yeah.
What does the term racy mean when it's described you, and what does it mean when it's used to describe a wine?
Well, it refers to kind of like the style of the wine, but, you know, it's like... It's a wine that has passion, that's showy a little bit, maybe.
Oh, like you.
Yes.
No.
Yes. It shows a little bit more than what you'd expect. It's a little sexy. Normally, it's a white wine, though. Red wines can be racy, but normally a white wine, like a Riesling, will show something, maybe. Or, you know, it's just like, it just looks at you and says, hi, I'm Duke's Mayonnaise. You're like, oh.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Where are you going to be 15 minutes from now? Like, well, I'll be in the cupboard. And I'm like, oh, well, then if you're there and I'm there, oh, yes. And then, you know, then the Duke's Mayonnaise just unscrews its cap just a little bit so you can kind of look under the cap. And you're like, oh, what's in there? And you're like, oh, maybe it's just saying, come in. And I'm like, So I did, and you know, well, wait a second, what happened? Is this something you're gonna edit all this out, right?
No.
What? Oh, Duke's mayonnaise, the best mayonnaise to eat with a ham sandwich. Yes.
A ham sandwich.
It could be. I don't know. I'm freaking out. Turkey sandwich. Is that better?
Turkey. I like it with turkey.
Yeah, turkey sandwich. And fuck it. Oh, well, no.
Tuna fish? Tuna?
Could be.
With some tuna.
Yeah. Yeah. Chicken salad.
Chicken salad.
With dill.
Dill? I can go with dill in a chicken salad.
Yeah.
Got to have crispy celery and crispy pickles.
Okay, whatever.
I got to have some crispy pickles in my chicken salad.
A crispy pickle. Yeah.
I like putting fresh, flat parsley in, too.
I'll give you something flat and fresh.
I'll bet you would.
Yeah.
One last question.
Yes.
Physician's assistant, Wilfred.
Uh-huh.
What wines are seasonally appropriate for your fall? I mean, for the fall.
Seasonally appropriate.
Seasonally appropriate.
Appropriate.
Well, see, you know, what might be a good transitional wine style to go from summer wines to winter wines?
Do people have that? I mean, I guess summer wines are wines you drink, maybe white wines, rosés, shit like that.
As your favorite.
And then you transition into wines that are actually wine.
Well,
red wines.
Don't judge.
I'm just saying.
No, you're judging.
What are you drinking during the summer? You're like, well, during the summer I drink a rosé of Merlot. And then in the fall I drink rosé of Zinfandel. And it's very sweet. But, you know, la, 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 Behringer. You know, one time Rob the Wine Guy was he worked for the Andersons, right? And so they had a locked up case of the ultra premium wines. And as a joke, they put bottles of Ars Vetus in there.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Well, they also, as a joke, put a bottle of Behringer White Zin.
Oh, Jesus.
Problem is, there was a customer that came in and didn't get the joke. And he really likes Behringer White Zin. And he said, I collect verticals of that. He was serious, folks. And it's like, oh. Bon appetit is what they said.
Why are you telling a story about yourself like that?
Oh, I bet that's delicious.
Have you capped those verticals of white zit?
You're going to get malaria from the 2010. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, my Lord. Great. It's fantastic.
You should have malaria.
Maybe I do. I don't know. Is that what it is?
It's a scurvy.
Does that make your balls itch and make them spotted?
No, that's just you not having good personal hygiene.
Oh, okay. Wash your balls. Okay, that's right. You
probably should wash your sack.
You don't have to be grotesque, Scott. You could just say to
wash your sack.
Now
grotesque.
You could say ball bag, and wiener.
but not sack.
No, that's inappropriate. It's terrible. Schlong and ball bag. That's classy.
I just, you know what's classy?
What?
Drinking this wine and spitting it back in your glass.
It's the only way to do it.
Oh, God, it's bad.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Dame de Beauvoir. Now, Scott and I have been discussing frequently how much we dislike this wine. And this is the thing. Bordeaux, cheap Bordeaux, can be
bad.
A roll of the dice. You can have things that are like, oh my gosh, that's so fantastic. And then you can have wines that are suck. I mean, there isn't a lot of in between. There just isn't. And quite frankly, a lot of the stuff that is the value price stuff you see, if you just, you know, if you drink Sonoma Cabs all the time, stuff like that, don't buy it. Don't say, well, I'm going to try Bordeaux today. and then buy something like this. Don't do it because you're not going to enjoy it, and it's going to give you the incorrect impression of Bordeaux.
Yeah.
There are many good things out there, but you have to know what you're looking at to buy it. And it can also be vintage to vintage a little bit too, but you have to know what you're looking at when you're buying this stuff. You know,
that's why don't, those Narshon will tell you what to buy.
I'll tell you what. If you see Suckling and a couple others, I mean, this got Parker and Jeb, but they're looking at the barrel sample and they're giving an 88 to 90, which means often when you see a score like that, when it comes out, when they actually review it officially, normally it's 86. 85. That's what it gets.
I mean,
that's just what it gets. They don't get 88s to 90s. The good stuff sometimes, but I bet if they went back and re-reviewed that in the bottle, it's something lower than that. It's not going to get an 88 to 90 from any from either Parker or Dunnock. It's just not going to.
I mean, it's just bad. This is just a bad wine. It's just they dropped the ball.
It's a flaccid grape stock. It's well, we haven't.
My Chateau Bordeaux.
I'm gonna put up a little bit more in there, but we have not.
Mine.
We have not. You haven't barely drank any.
I'm gonna stay on that path.
It's not something that
is good.
We're gonna not. I mean, I drank this before, but I didn't pay much attention to it. It's not something you're gonna drink a lot of. There's not. Maybe I didn't finish it. I don't remember. But, yeah, it's really
bad.
Just kind of a...
Yeah.
What's your
Chateau
score,
Bordeaux.
Chateau Bordeaux.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
It is by... Well, I mean...
Good. And
From full retail price of this, yes, it is.
Oh, my God. Much better. 82 of my points.
82?
Yeah. Maybe lower because I really can't drink this. Just can't do it. This isn't because I don't like it. It's not drinkable. It's bad, folks. Do not recommend this wine. 82 is probably generous.
I'm going to give it 84 of my points. I'll say this. If it were $7-$8 and it was just a Bordeaux it wasn't a Grand Vin, it wasn't from Saint Emilion or any of the satellites, if it were just something that was nondescript that had the lady's face on there and it was called Dame de Bord and you bought it for $8 at Costco, you'd be fine with it, right? You're not going to buy it all the time. You might buy it and cook with it maybe or something like that. You'd be okay with it, right? It's not going to be your go-to, but you'd be like, whatever. You blow it off, right? At $12.99, you're like, no. But if you bought it for $22, there's a lot of great wine from Bordeaux at that price range, and this ain't it. And I can't decide it because
22. If you paid 22 for this, you need to begin questioning your value in society.
Well, it misses the mark. It just misses the mark in style. It misses the mark in grape stock quality. And I think with better grape stock behind it, the oak might take care of itself. But as it is, there isn't anything there to counterbalance it. Ugh. So if you had a little bit more pleasing fruit in the front palate, that oaking might be better. But that's difficult to do because that's not really a Bordeaux's thing.
No.
And so then you're looking at, I don't know, I mean.
And there's perfectly nothing wrong with the front and mid palate of this wine. It's just when you get to the finish, it really fucked it up.
Well, I think sometimes, right, you're making a wine and you're tasting it through stages, right? You're going to barrel sample it, but that's not the finished product.
No.
And from a winery standpoint, they're going to produce a wine, and then at the end, they're going to know what it is. But they're going to taste it up to stages. But this just got left, it's just a little bit too woody. But that's the only thing on it that has any kind of depth to it, even though it's bad, even though we don't like it. That's the one part of the wine that shows a bit of a pulse. The rest of it doesn't really have any elements of that. So,
at least they're not bad.
Yeah, it's just, I've had worse. I mean, I've had worse, a lot worse.
It's a rudderless ship that's sinking fast.
Well, I brought over
it's got two big holes in it.
A Côtes de Bourg to Hank's a few weeks back. Remember we did the rugby thing, that really crappy thing, right? I brought a really crappy red over to Hank's, and I bought it for like $7-$8, right? This wine is better than that in the fact that it just has, it's a little classier. But that wine was very nondescript. Both of them were nondescript. They were just bad in different ways. It was $7.99, though, and that's really what this should be. I think it's telling when you see it case stacked at Costco for half what they're originally asking.
Yeah.
Because,
That's telling you something.
A Montagne Saint-Emilion goes for 19 to 25. That's what they go for. Whether or not I think they should is a different question, but that's about what they go for. Wine, though, they're selling it half off, and they had a bunch of it. Why? Because they knew this just didn't turn out the way they wanted it to.
Cool. The other thing, it's like, you know, if you've got six cases you're trying to get rid of, probably was a decent wine, but when you've got case stacks,
still
pallets of wine,
and they've had it for months,
nobody's buying it. Mm-hmm. And the people that are buying it aren't coming back for seconds.
There isn't a class of people, a group of people that would find appeal in this because it just doesn't really have it. Bordeaux drinkers are going to taste it, and it's like,
sadists maybe.
It's not sadist bad, but it's. It just is.
It's punishing to drink.
It's boring. It doesn't even do anything for you in the French sense. It could be a boring Californian. It could be a boring Spanish. You don't know what the 100%, fuck.
No, 100%. You're right.
If you tasted this, you're like, okay, it's Bordeaux?
I mean, yes.
But you're shrugging your shoulders because it doesn't really have enough character of any kind of level. If it had more of a little bit of all it needs is just a little bit of stuff, too, to get it to 85, 86 and be it passable. It just needs a little bit of tweak here and there, but it doesn't have it. It doesn't have just a little bit of mocha or dark chocolate.
I'll tell you what this tastes like. A really bad California Merlot.
Normally bad California Merlots, though, have residual sugar. If they didn't, and it was a little bit weedy and dull, a dry bad California Merlot. I'd agree with that.
I mean,
yeah, it's just, it's a lean. Yeah, well, you know what it tastes like?
Hmm.
Remember the New Zealand red we had?
It was so bad.
The Craggy Lane? Yeah. That's what it tastes like. It tastes like a wine that's made in a very lean, harsh environment where they just didn't have any kind of balance to it. So if you have a lean, hard wine, then there's ways you can approach it to make it a little more appealing. You can accentuate what it's got, but you have to be able to oak it in a certain way that kind of brings that about. This wine just has lean fruit. It doesn't really show any terroir. Nothing really imparts because it is lower stock. It's lower grape stock. So if you're going to have a younger vine, like this obviously is, it doesn't have these deep roots that go in and pull a bunch of stuff. It's pulling some limestone. It's pulling some of that. That's kind of the easy stuff. But you're not tasting a lot of terroir. You're not tasting a lot of nothing. French character. You're not tasting a lot of stuff at all. You're just tasting some limey. There isn't even a fruit that you can really. Let me drink it one more time. I've drank more than Scott, but I haven't drank a lot.
It's just so bad, folks. I've got nothing more to say. Stewed.
No, there's no purple
fruit.
No, there's no purple fruit. Underripe green raspberry. Green raspberry. That's about it. Green berry. Underripe fruit. Too underripe. The rest of it would be okay if you had fruit that was semi-ripe. It would be okay. Not great, but okay.
It's
just an acidic, slightly acidic, underripe wine that doesn't go anywhere. So 82, 84, not recommended.
Sounds like your score is climbing downward, though.
I don't drink 84s. I wouldn't give them the time of day. I will say, Scott, I will 82 to 84 if that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
It's not an 84 to 86. That's what you're. If you're wondering about that, there's no 85 or 86 in my equation. It's
and you know what's happening in my glass?
How much?
I got little bubbles happening.
It's probably a gnat that died and is fermenting. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu, but see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.